Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm in the studio today with Steve Durbin, Managing Director, for a conversation about artificial intelligence and machine learning and their role in cybersecurity. Steve, great to see you again. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are redefining cybersecurity, exposing sophisticated attacks and re-engineering threat detection tools and anti-malware software. But there is a bit of a dark side. It's expected that with the increased use of these solutions and automated systems, they will soon produce outcomes that go beyond the understanding of IT and security professionals. And with an already long-term skill shortage within the profession, it seems it might be creating problems as well as solving them. Steve, what is your take on artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning and their impact on cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think that the whole area of AI and machine learning is a fascinating one. I think that, as you said there in the introduction, Tavia, you know, it presents opportunities for cybersecurity professionals to solve some of the challenges that we've seen of late. I think we have to be clear, though, about what we're talking about. You know, today, mostly, we are talking about machine learning. Artificial intelligence is a little way off. I think for most organizations, we're probably looking at least 5 to 10 years out in terms of really true AI that can be affordable and used. That being said, of course, you know, if we look at some of the financial services space, we look at some of the more advanced government research laboratories and so on, then AI is certainly being explored and developed. So machine learning certainly, I think, has a range of different applicabilities across industry. It does have the ability, I think, to take away perhaps some of the more mundane but quite complicated tasks. So I'm thinking in particular of network scanning, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a number of different analysts that are using technology to do that on an ongoing basis, but within a machine learning environment, you could potentially be very much more effective. I don't see a situation where we're going to have machine learning completely replace the security analyst. I do see a situation where we're going to have machine learning perhaps taking some of the work away from the analyst and freeing up some of that time, which is hugely important when we are suffering from skill shortages in this particular space, to allow the analyst to better use some of his or her skill sets. And I think that is something that we're going to move to relatively quickly, certainly within the next small number of years.
Will we see AI become part of the security mainstream in the near future? And what are some of the risks IT and security leaders are going to face as the bad guys also start using the technology to their benefit?
Yeah, and again, I think that this is a really valid point, because we have to bear in mind that everything that is available to the good guys is also available to the bad guys, of course. And in our most recent Threat Horizon report, Threat Horizon 2020, we do talk about the way in which artificial intelligence and machine learning could be used really against us. And it is about, you know, the ability that machines have to really seek out opportunities for breach or access that perhaps we hadn't anticipated. And, you know, I really would recommend that certainly ISF members and indeed others listening to this just review that element of the Threat Horizon 2020 just to see how it might apply to their own organizations. So I think that, you know, with machine learning in particular, one of the downsides of it today is that the machine is only ever going to be as good as the data that it is able to access. Mm-hmm. And so we are starting to see some rather sort of quirky behaviors that are coming about because of the sort of data that the machines are actually using and in fact, are learning from. So I think one of the things that is very important today, and we are seeing with organizations that are experimenting in this particular space and researching it, is you do have to be monitoring exactly what's going on here. You do have to have the ability to pull a kill switch effectively. Mm. What we are trying to do, I think, is expand our own human understanding of the way in which machine learning and AI can impact our lives. But we need to be doing it with security front and center. And that is very different, I think, from the way in which perhaps we have exploited technology in the past. So very often one of the complaints from security professionals will be that security is a retrofit. Security was never mm-hmm. considered at the time that a technology was being developed. For me, AI, machine learning, is an example of a technological advance where we need to be considering the security elements at each and every different stage, because actually we are pushing the boundaries so much in terms of what these technologies might be able to do. Mm-hmm. And we don't fully understand, potentially anyway, the route that could take us down. Bringing it right the way back, though, into a security environment, is there room for machine learning? Absolutely. I think, particularly around things like its use in a SOC environment, networks, assessing traffic, all of these very labor-intensive, high data volume environments to really try to identify anomalies, to flag those up, perhaps for human intervention, or for a more advanced system to then subsequently take a look at. So I think that there are a number of different stages that we're going through. There is clearly a role for it. Technology vendors, certainly such as IBM, for instance, have been very active in this particular space for quite some while now, with Watson, I'm thinking of him in particular. But there are others out there as well that are making advances too in this particular space. And it's certainly an area, I think, that we're all very excited about and are eager to see how it all pans out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think our AI overlords will be benevolent in the end? Should we cut that question?
If I knew what you were talking about, you'd take me into sort of Doctor Who land.
Steve, there's a lot of talk about the long-term skills shortage in cybersecurity and how AI and machine learning might bridge that gap. So given your experience, are AI and machine learning the answer? And do you believe that we're doing enough to train for the IT careers of the future?
I don't know that AI and machine learning is the answer. I think that, when we look at the skill shortage that exists today, part of it is down to the fact, certainly, that we're not producing enough skill sets that we need. But I think the other part of it is that we're also not encouraging as actively as we might the transferability of skills. So we need to move away from this focus, I think, on the fact that to be effective in cyber, you need to have, a STEM degree or something like that. You actually don't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the skill sets that are required now to be effective in cyber are soft skills that certainly people who have come from universities with arts-based degrees, for instance, are much better placed to demonstrate. If we think about it from that perspective, what we do have is a very vibrant, very agile, very fast-moving, fast-changing cyber environment that is hugely attractive, I think, to a lot of people. What we need to be doing is actively encouraging them to come into the industry, irrespective of where they might have originated. Increasingly as well, I think, within the corporation itself, we need to be looking at how we can transfer some of the skills that exist within, say, marketing and sales, HR and so on, into a cyber environment. Because if, again, we step back and think about cyber, there are a number of different components to it. Yes, of course, there are the very technical elements that are required, and certainly data scientists, for instance, are in short demand. You do require a certain personality, mm-hmm. a certain set of skills and abilities to be a good data scientist. But there are some other areas, too, where we have effectively moved cyber so far out into the business that actually you don't need to have some of those very particular scientific or technical skills. And you are much better suited, I think, to come at it from the business standpoint, because you're looking at how you're making use of cyber technology in a business environment. So I think that we can solve some of the skills shortage by being a little bit more open-minded about where we might attract skills from. I think we also need to be very much more focused in terms of understanding specifically where the skill shortage might lie within an organization, and then looking at how we can have outreach programs that take us out into universities and schools and so on to attract some of those skills in. But then we get into the environment that we're creating as well, because having attracted the people in, what we're now trying to do is make sure that we can retain them for as long mm-hmm. as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to require significant change too from an organizational standpoint to reflect the way in which the cultural norm of work has changed very significantly over the last number of years. And so I think that, Will AI and machine learning solve the problem? No, it's not going to solve the problem at all. Is it going to help? Potentially, but we have to view this skill shortage within the overall landscape that I've just been describing. And I think expecting, you know, one or two elements of technology to suddenly solve it for us is unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think the environment looks like that will be attractive enough to retain this very specialized talent you're talking about?
I think it has to change quite significantly from what we see today. I think that if you look at the way that people coming into the workplace today expect to be able to work, it is very different from, say, 10 to 15 years ago. One of the very interesting things about most large organizations today is the diversity of both skill sets and culture that exists within the organization. What I mean by that is we have a variety of different age groups across an enterprise with different ways of working. So the 20-somethings that you're currently intaking will have an entirely different approach to work from, say, the 50-somethings that you've got potentially in your workforce, and indeed the 30-somethings and 40-somethings that you've got too. So the challenge from the organizational standpoint is to try to be attractive at each and every stage of that human life cycle. And to reflect, I think, the needs that the people coming into that workplace might have. So we're seeing a transition, for instance, away from being present in an office environment to being present, irrespective of where you happen to be. We're seeing an increase in the need for collaboration, not just in an office environment, but much more broadly speaking than that. So there is no reason why we can't have teams, for instance, that are spread all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at the ISF environment, then we do just that. We have teams that are spread all around the world. There is no requirement to be located in one specific location, provided the technology exists to enable that level of collaboration. And I think that is something that, for a small organization, is a little bit easier to achieve than perhaps for some of the larger ones.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to take into account things like the gig economy. You know, we will be bringing in experts who are going to work with us for a very short space of time. Well, that raises issues around security, around integration into a corporate culture, into, just how do these individuals fit? How do we manage them during that period? How do we manage them in relation to other people that exist within the organization? And indeed, we shouldn't forget, how do we manage them in relation to the deliverables they're providing, perhaps to the customer base, to shareholders, and so on? So the place of work is changing very, very significantly. And I think smart organizations that are out there are demonstrating a much higher degree of flexibility in terms of some of the processes they're putting in place to attract people and retain them. A realism that in the majority of cases, people are not going to be with them for a very long period of time. You know, it may be 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is giving rise to a change in the contract that exists between the corporation and the individual. So we are getting much closer to things like, you know, complete transparency. If I'm going to work for an organization, being transparent about what it is that I hope to achieve during that period. From the organizational standpoint, accepting that an individual is coming to me because they want to derive a certain number of benefits, values, skills, whatever it might be. And so really thinking through what it is that I'm going to get from an organizational standpoint as well from that individual, so that at the end of the period of us coming together, we go our separate ways, both in a state that says, actually, it was a good experience. It worked well for us. We both derived benefit from it. That, again, I think is very different from perhaps the way in which organizations have worked traditionally in the past. And so I think that the whole, you know, business of work, of management, of attraction, of retention is changing. Technology is an enabler in that particular space. Certainly things like artificial intelligence and machine learning will take away some of the more mundane elements
mm-hmm.
of work that allow us to focus on some of the things that really excite us very much more and provide us with more challenges. And I think actually it makes for a much richer work experience.
Hmm. So as AI and machine learning technologies accelerate in cybersecurity, companies can benefit from automation, alleviating their workforce from the lower-level detection and threat hunting tasks. On the other hand, the advancements are going to open up some vulnerabilities as attackers take advantage and deploy automated hacks that are able to study and learn about the systems they're attacking. But most of all, it seems AI and machine learning may not be silver bullets for the skill shortage. The increased use of these technologies could mean organizations will require more people who can translate cybersecurity knowledge into the programs that power automation. Great, as always, to speak with you, Steve. And for our listeners, for more insights, like the Threat Horizon 2020 report, which touches on the threats posed by AI and machine learning, please visit securityforum.org.